Yeah, but that was a big deal. Okay. I think it would be nice, Miss Doris just left, if we just introduce ourselves a little bit, because you may know each other and you don't know it yet. Do you know anyone here, Zoe? Do you know anyone here? Yes? Cousin Lacey, I was going to tell you, Zoe, my, what nice manners you had. You were so quiet during class, I didn't even know you were there.
Thank you.
I thought maybe you were asleep.
That's a funny one.
Yeah, and you weren't. Anyway, I'm Selma Ehrlich, and I'll assume that if you're here now, you're interested in the classical literature history class, or in the case of Ruth, you've taken it, you might even take part or all of it again. In the case of Ginny Ann, Ginny Ann's taken it, and she may take it again as a TA, and that you might be interested then in the trip. I'd like to spend the first 45 minutes talking about the classical class. I brought, and so you're here inquiring about the classical class, correct? Mm-hmm. And Hannah?
Mm-hmm.
Hannah, what grade are you this fall?
Eighth and ninth.
Okay, eighth, ninth, and, but I'm going to guess that you're up for a challenge. All right, you're up for a challenge. What I'd like to do is show you, Ginny Ann has done this, Ruth has done this, and they are here. They've lived through it. They're here to tell. This is the Iliad. Unfortunately, we have to do our toughest thing first, Hannah. Our most difficult project we have to do first. This has been a six-week project. My hope is that by moving my classes from Mondays to Thursdays, it looks like I'm going to gain at least two more weeks. And if that's the case, this will become a seven-week project. Wouldn't that have been nice, Ruth? I knew your eyes would light up. What I brought to share was, for someone that's brand new, you just need to look at what we have here, Hannah. I want to give you a copy. You and your mom can look at this. Okay, anybody else new? For example, here's my answer copy for the first week or two. And here is a student copy. This is for 2 weeks. 1 week's work would be question numbers 1 through 30. That's 1 week's work, plus reading the text along with it. That's 1 week's work. Reading the text, and which allows you to answer the question. Oops, come in. And I have another copy of that. Are you Starless's mom?
I am, I'm Bryna.
Oh, Bryna, nice to
meet you
in person.
You too.
Thank
you.
Oh, we haven't met, right?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. Your husband prayed for me over the phone.
I'll forget that.
I'll never forget that. That meant so much to me.
Thanks a lot. We will do that.
Well, that
by the time you, you know, get face to face, it could be too late.
All right.
Why not just do it?
Well, I can tell your family's really active evangelically. Yeah, that was really fun for me.
That's great.
Let's see. Here's a week three and week three. I think you might want to look at this.
Okay.
Week three. I just brought some real curriculum. Hannah in the back in the green sweater has week one. This is week three and I think week four. That's the one with the red. That's the teacher copy, so that's what I expect you to answer. Oh, you can look at it. You're not going to remember that.
I'm going to pray for her.
Remember any of that, the Lord bless you. Yeah. And what your mom has is a student copy. I think it helps the mothers. Hi, Hannah. I think it helps the mother to actually look at what will she bring home that first day in class. What will you take home? If you take home the student copy, then of course I have the answer copy. You can see what I expect. And Hannah will pass that text around back there. That's our first project, is the Iliad. Oh, did you get a look at that?
Here you go.
Okay.
And
this is that's our first project. And I was just telling everyone, unfortunately, we do our most difficult thing first. Now, for Hannah, this will be pretty easy. She'll probably love it. She won't have any problems. So, Hannah's a star student. So she will not, actually, you won't have any problems with anything I could throw at you. Let's see. I used to dream when I was in high school somebody would say that on me, but nobody did. Here's the syllabus. This is just a 3-page overview of the ancient history class. Now, this is the syllabus. That's a good idea. And Ruth Walker, too. Between you and Ruth, you can both do that, okay? Thank you, Janine. I forgot. I have to bring my chapstick here. Here we go. Okay. Thank you, Ruth. That, and I'll take one. And I will take one, too. This is the syllabus. This is for Oregon City here. So if you're looking at another place, I think, Ginny Ann, you're going to be in Woodburn.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Well, it's in Woodburn and here.
I'll probably be in Woodburn.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's closer to you, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And so ignore the date then and the time. If you're not looking at classes here in Oregon City, ignore the date and time. Everything else is the same. This is different from this year. This is different from what Ruth did. This is different from what Jenny Ann did. It is doing now. I'm adding, by request, I'm adding more Bible. The kids tell me continually they want to do more Bible with this program, with the classical literature program. You can see what we read already. We start out with the Iliad, and we move on to the Odyssey. This year, I use a novel version of the Odyssey. This fall, I'm going to Lattimore's Odyssey, which is very similar to the Iliad. It's a little bit of a newer edition. And so Lattimore's Iliad, Lattimore's Odyssey, these are standard college texts. There's no way to get around that. The way that it works is a miracle from God, really. It's a miracle from God. Back when my boys were little and I was teaching Lit Circle for the first time, most of the curriculum you look at, that was all written during times of prayer and fasting. When I finished the Iliad, I was going on my 6th fast day, and it was finish or not ever eat again because I was in such desperate need. So there is a lot of prayer represented here, and I think that it shows through. I think this has been valuable curriculum to all the kids that have done it. Ruth, you've been blessed, right? It is a blessing. Now, to the mom who just came in, what do you need? What do you have?
I copied these off your site. Is this what I need?
Oh, I don't know if that's the newest one. Ruth or Jenny Ann, hand that to Ruth, and she can hand it to
you.
Okay. Would you like to take a look? Now, you're somebody's mother.
Terry Tiffany Goddard.
Goddard, okay.
And they take other classes here. I'm all right. Linda Moore. She's really
oh, great. Okay. I know them more. Okay, well, I'm Thelma English.
Thank you.
What they're passing you right now, what they're handing you right now is the first book we read, which is the Iliad, and the first part of the study guide. You have the student copy and the answer copy. The first week, they have 30 questions to answer and read the text. They're reading from the Iliad. They have 30 questions to answer. You can kind of see from the curriculum, and I do need all of that back. Normally, I don't leave my answer copies all over. Then we move on to the Odyssey. I'm going to work our way through this syllabus here. Then we work our way through the Odyssey, and then we read Job. And we read Job as an epic. It works. It works. Job works as an epic. His story matters to every person on the face of the planet. And that's what an epic is all about. An epic has a cosmic stage. For example, Iliad and Odyssey, they are epic. They're what define epic. You have the gods and people, and they're interacting, and how the movement of the gods affects people. With Job, the stage is set. Book 1 and 2, God says, laughs at my servant Job. Isn't he righteous? And then we have the attack. But we literally have this conversation where God, there is it's a cosmic stage between the heavens and the earth. Job works very well as an epic to show balance. We read the Iliad and the Odyssey, where they value things like vaunting and boasting, gloating, merciless. When warrior Jeanne goes and attacks warrior Hannah, she says, "I, Jeanne, daughter of Gina, daughter of so-and-so, daughter of so-and-so," before... Hi, Eli.
Oh, no, we created a package.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you, Eli. Oh, neat. Okay, Eli's our book guy. And before I kill you, she says, I want you to know this. And then she says, "By the way, I know you're engaged to be married next spring. I hope this is a nice honeymoon." Blah, 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 and kills her. That's the worldview of the Iliad and the Odyssey, of the Greek worlds, and right up into the Romans with the time of Christ. Then we read Job. And we read Job as a contrast or a foil for Iliad and Odyssey. And we say, now let's look at the Hebrews. Let's look at God's people and see what they value. What was their worldview? What about boasting? Vaunting? Mercy? Mercy was unknown in the ancient world. It was unknown except among the Hebrew people. It was an unknown concept. No one understood what mercy was. And through these contrasts, we look at contrasts all the time. I have a few of my structured notes up here. And for example, session 2 or 3, we go through this set of notes and say, what's important to children's warrior? Honor and collecting booty. Shields and swords to hang on your wall. And glory. That's all that can live on after you die. Because you'll go into the underworld and shave. You must collect glory. And that's what people will say about you after your death. Glory and honor. Teenage chaos. We learned a few Greek words. Then, does history have pattern? And we say, well, no, we're going from one place to the other. We compare the Greeks and the Hebrews. When something bad happens to you, Jeanne, and you're a Greek warrior, why did you break your leg yesterday and your house caved in and your dog died? Why?
You're
either upset to God or your patron goddess must have been busy somewhere else and was not paying attention to you. And we look at things, the hospitality code, where we give gifts to one another. Women in the Greek worldview, this is one of the sticklers with me, I'm not a feminist at all, but as a woman, it just really bothers me. But women in the Greek worldview are a curse from a god. Pandora, the first woman, was sent to be beautiful, very fetchy. She had Aphrodite's special girdle to make her gorgeous. And you'll know about all those things this fall. And yet, she was a curse. And we make comparisons with the Hebrews. And we say, well, what's valuable for a Hebrew person? We know even from the time of David, God, of course, looks at the heart. We know there's a providential plan. We know there's a beginning. And we know there's an ending. And we have the character of God. We don't have to worry about the whims and the fickle gods and goddesses. In fact, we play, our very last day this year, we'll be playing classical Jeopardy. And you can choose categories like fickle gods and goddesses for 300, things like that. Because literally, the Greek worldview, you're at the mercy, the whims of the gods. It's kind of like a chess game. And with the Hebrew people, we have the character of God. God even telling us what he's like in Exodus 34:6, the only instance in the Old Testament where God tells us what he is like. And the first woman. For the Hebrews, Eve was a gift from God. She's a special gift from God. Only with the Hebrews can you have the blessing of being unclean, for example, after you have a baby. A bad translator word choice, but if you are unclean after you have a baby and you are a Hebrew, oh my goodness, how awful, because you can't go to temple. You can't walk. You can't touch anything. You can't do any housework. You can't cook. You cannot. You have to stay at home for 30 days. 80
days for a boy.
80 days for a boy. And what an incredible blessing. What an incredible thing that God set up for women. We just have to look at it that way and realize what was a woman like for the Greeks? Well, with their initial view of Pandora, women are not only a curse, they're not to be trusted. Most women, for example, in Athens, 5th century B.C., when a woman got married, that might be the last time that she even saw her mother, unless it was at a funeral or you were lucky enough to have a wedding, because you would not be allowed to leave the house. Servants left the house. Women were not to be trusted. So we look at these, opposing worldviews. The idea that I have with presenting Iliad and Odyssey and then the worldview of the Hebrews through Job is to present the beauty of the Old Testament. And my idea is that our children do not appreciate the Old Testament. They don't. They cannot understand the Old Testament unless they understand the context of the Old Testament. What were those Hebrew people in the midst of? What was the rest of the world like? The only way to understand how you